S-R-N. We're adding a little something to this month's sales contest. As you all know, first prize is a Cadillac Eldorado. Anybody want to see second prize? Second prize, a set of steak knives. Third prize is you're fired. You get the picture? You laughing now? You got leads. Mitch and Murray paid good money. Get their names to sell them. You can't close the leads you're given. You can't close shit. You are shit. Hit the bricks, pal, and beat it, because you are going out.
The leads are weak.
The leads are weak. Fucking leads are weak. You're weak. I've been in this business 15 years.
What's your name?
Fuck you. That's my name. You know why, mister? Because you drove a Hyundai to get here tonight. I drove an $80,000 BMW. That's my name.
Cinema Crespo Diso.
Welcome to Cinema Crespo Diso. Opening music provided by Pedro Lima. This is Christopher Crespo, your host. I'm here with Drew Cogburn. Drew,
what's up?
And special guest Pedro Lima. How's it going?
Hey, musical coordinator.
Yeah, thank you, sir. I appreciate that. I don't actually have an opening theme song at all. Yeah. Been trying to get one for
a long time.
Since December. A couple people
24 episodes.
This is episode 24. So for over 24 weeks, I've been trying to get someone to give me a
theme
song.
I'm on episode 107, and we don't even have an official. I finally acknowledged it at one of the podcasts. I go, listen, realistic, we're not fancy like Tom and Dan.
Right, there's a lot of podcasts with production values,
great.
Man. Yeah.
It's like, it
takes work. Sometimes it takes money. Yeah, let's get to the meat and potatoes of this thing. Yeah.
YouTube is good for music, though.
Speaking of which, you are the host of your own podcast, El Chupa Podcast.
El Chupa Podcast on Rampant Radio Network.
On Rampant Radio Network. You had me on as a guest once. I really, really appreciate that.
Yeah,
that was a good time.
Come next time. It's not too crowded.
Yeah, that was a pretty. It was fun though. It was a lot of energy going on. It's a little intimidating being in a room full of professional stand up comedians and being the non like, hey, I got jokes. You know,
no, you don't, Chris. You have no jokes.
It's tough.
Just jump in. We wanted you for your knowledge of movies.
Yeah, right? and definitely threw it. I was getting like trivia stuff thrown at me, and it was fun. Good times. There's a lot of drinking. I'm a big fan of drinking during podcasts.
Yes,
as
yes, you
can see
are.
Here. That's the obligatory drink on air. That's what I do. But Pedro, thank you so much for coming on, man.
Thanks for having me, man.
We're gonna bullshit about movies for a while and
yes.
other things as well. I see I got all my show prep here. We're gonna start with the Netflix Instant Pick of the Week. Drew has a Netflix Instant Randomizer 9000.
High technology here at Chris.
It's 2013. This is how we do it. Pedro, if you'll please reach in there. You're the one that makes the pick, sir.
Here we go.
Let us know. Actually, if you can hand that to Drew.
Don't say anything yet.
Because he has to verify.
I gotta verify that it's there.
Because you know how Netflix does.
I hope it's there.
Do you have Netflix Instant?
I hope it's
yes.
there.
Do you know how like they'll put movies up there? Like, oh, great, there's this movie there. And you'll wait. And then you go back to watch it later. And then it's gone. Because they're always putting movies on and taking them off and shit.
They took it out?
They took it down? Is it gone?
Wait a minute.
Oh, Drew kind of stinks at this verification thing. Oh, his computer stinks.
The,
someone get Drew
a
new
documentary.
MacBook
well, yeah, no, but
already.
The Netflix thing's changed. There used to be two buttons for one play and one not. Now there's just a plus for the instant cue.
Okay, so that means it's there.
But yeah, it's on our Man on Wire.
Man on Wire. Have you seen Man on Wire?
No, I know about it.
Yeah.
So it's good. about my home state,
New York City. Yeah, absolutely. So, we share that in common. Man, it's about it. When was
so
it? In the 70s? Do you have the description there for the people? About the high wire guy?
This documentary explores Philippe Petit's preparations historically walking across a high wire between New York's Twin Towers.
Yes.
Says.
Crazy stuff. Yep. And the footage that they got, like, it's amazing how much
they
footage they actually got. Yeah.
Because it wasn't planned.
The building wasn't even finished. It wasn't even open. Like, the top floors that were still under construction when they were up there. Crazy.
And he camped out there for a while. Like, now you can't even do stuff like that with the
surveillance. You couldn't do this if you tried. Well, I mean,
there was one scene.
For obvious reasons.
Yeah,
you
obviously.
You couldn't do this if you tried.
Well,
anymore.
not for about 12 years now.
Yeah.
I mean, you can do it, but if you fall, it's only going to be like a 5-foot fall.
Now they do have a World Trade Center.
Oh, yeah, it's back up.
But it's only one building.
Oh,
so that's going to be a tough tightrope.
Yeah, you can't.
Exactly. Well, that is pretty incredible. And actually, you know, speaking of that whole you know, shitty 9/11 thing. It is actually cool to see a movie that had a lot of footage about the buildings going up,
yes,
being constructed, and the people, yeah, that the actual people that worked on it. Because there's that one scene where they pretended to be, they went incognito as reporters, and they went up to the top and they're interviewing the construct. They were really just trying to get measurements for how far away each building was and how much rope they needed or steel or whatever. And but they were like, oh yeah, we're doing this for a newspaper, and they had a camera so they could record everything for later. But they kept all that shit. So then when they did the documentary, all that journalistic fake shit became real, yeah, journalism.
And this is 1970. This is not like everybody has a camera now. Yes. They're, yeah, carrying those 70-pound cameras.
Yeah, yeah. Like, so, does someone have an 8mm film camera? Does someone know we can get some film?
You
know?
Like, there's,
yeah,
a guy with a crank.
They're filling that thing with gunpowder so you, yeah, can hit it. Like, everyone hold still for 10 minutes now. Yeah, it is pretty wild that they had the forethought to get so much shit, so much to document what they were doing, yeah, at that time, and now they're able to make it into a great movie, Man on Wire. That's an awesome.
And you know, right, what? Yes. That guy doesn't get the cred that the Wallendas do.
No.
You know what I mean? Because the Wallendas would do stuff like that. And the, yeah, reason I know the Wallendas, my mother was the manager of El San Juan Hotel in Puerto Rico when, uh-huh, Carl Wallenda fell to his death.
Whoa.
Oh.
He decided to do a stunt from one hotel to the other.
Uh-huh.
So he goes in the middle and a gust of wind hits him. Oh, he loses, man, his balance, hits the wire, and falls down. No net. You see, I think if you go on YouTube, you can find a clip.
And, oh, fantastic.
Like, you see the guys just falling down.
Oh.
And that's how we know the Wallendas. The son or the grandson just did it recently,
mm-hmm,
on the anniversary.
So they're still keeping it up.
They're still doing it.
Good for them.
And now he's doing the Grand Canyon.
And it's going to be on TV?
Yep.
I saw a commercial for that. Yes, some guy, yeah, is going to do the Grand Canyon, the whole.
It's the grandson.
No nets, no wires, no harness or nothing. Is he really not going to be? He's at least going to be harnessed to the rope,
gonna,
right?
Watch him fall to his death on live television.
We can only wish. It's the only reason
people tune in to watch.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's nobody ever sitting on TV. I hope he makes it.
No.
There's not.
No.
You know,
you're also
there
going, is he going to fall? Is he going to fall? Is,
yeah,
he going to fall?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's,
yeah,
the,
yeah,
thing. It's even kids that don't even have malicious thoughts, they just want to see. Oh man,
it's dangerous.
Maybe he falls.
Yeah. I mean, there's a net. Oh, screw that.
We never watch Evel Knievel to see.
To watch
how
him clear. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. We want to see him crash.
Especially, like, the more he crashes. Like,
oh,
that's
hilarious.
That's what this guy does. People don't go to the air stunt shows to see a plane's pull stunts without dying.
No.
Yeah.
One just happened, too, over the weekend, yep, I think, somewhere in this grand country of ours where things like this happen quite
stupid
often.
Things,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
this.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. Darwinism. Yeah. But this guy, this French dude, he pulled it off, man. And he was up. He was dancing. He was up there for like a couple hours because he had to stay. Because by the time he was up there, the cops were like on both buildings. And as soon as he got off the wire, they were gonna arrest him. So it's like, oh, I might as well hang out. Might as well chill for now. I guess he
did
got
he
hungry.
Did he do anything else after that?
He has gone on to like do building, like,
but once,
other.
Once, I mean, you do something that grand,
yeah. I mean, that was it. I mean, the biggest buildings in the world at the time. You know, where do you go from there?
Yeah.
Where do you go from there? And the documentary now exists as a testament to his fantastic achievement. So there you go. Your Netflix instant pick of the week. Check it out, Man on Wire. Before we continue, I wanted to bring up real quick. RIP, Tony Soprano. He's gone.
Oh, poor guy.
Poor guy.
James Gandolfini
died of a heart attack at the age of 51. What a shock that large man would die of a heart attack.
Yeah, yeah, seriously.
With his
sleep apnea.
That was half of his acting style.
Yeah.
Nose breathing. Oh, what is this nose breathing saying in this scene?
You know what, dude? We made fun of it because everybody's like, oh, what a great loss.
People did freak out.
He's an iconic guy.
Yeah.
It's an iconic character. Nobody's ever going to be able to play him.
Right.
Okay? But after that, that's the only character he did. And it's pretty
that
much
that people know
himself.
About. Yeah.
Well, yeah, yeah, he's, and all of his memorable roles, he's pretty much playing the same guy.
Yeah. Even the roles before that when he did like Mexican, True Romance, and Get Shorty.
Still just a hit man.
All three characters are exactly the same. Yeah. They're all
like
just big dumb brutes. Castle, yeah, big dumb brute. Even when he did Panetta in Zero Dark Dirty, he walks in as a big dumb brute,
yep,
nose breathing. But still, he pulled that shit off really well.
Yeah.
he was watchable. He was an interesting guy. And apparently he was a great dude too. I haven't heard a single bad thing about him.
Nope.
People have come out of the woodwork now to say, oh, like how much they love this guy.
When I was living in New York, season one just finished.
Mm-hmm.
And when they were filming season two, that's when the AJ character kid started getting into trouble. He got arrested.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was the one helping that kid out.
Really?
He doled out the bail money, tried to get him straight.
Yeah.
You know, everything stayed like on the hush, but everybody knew.
Well, yeah,
James Gandolfini was heavily involved
in the area. Everyone knew. Yeah. That's crazy.
So, but yeah, it's sad, man.
Yeah, it is. Only 51's young. You know,
Abe the Goat is still alive.
No, it's not. It's
still
not
kicking.
It is not a just and fair world. Okay. Abe the Goat also was not like 350 pounds or however big a Soprano is. I mean.
Mr. Gandolfini is a large individual.
I don't know. That did make me think twice about eating a cheeseburger yesterday.
Yeah, I still had one, though. And a hot dog.
All right, let's get into Rip Gandolfini. You will be missed. Let's get into the box office for the weekend. Drew, what do you got for
number five this week? We have Now You See Me. That had a weekend gross of $7.9 million.
That garbage magic
total
movie?
Yep. Total gross of $94.4 on a budget of $75.
Is that merit a sequel? Because
there can't be a sequel.
What, at 94 million? That has a budget of 75, so not really.
They can't do a sequel the way they ended the movie. I mean, I guess
they're magicians,
they could.
Buddy.
Yeah.
We're back.
I guess they could, but I would. I enjoyed this movie for what it was, but I wouldn't go see a sequel for it.
Okay.
I didn't enjoy it. I mean, it's like a dumb 90s heist action movie, but with magicians. But with magic done by CG.
But with capes.
Dead Presidents at least had some interesting style to it, you know? It was black light and dudes in white suits. This was just, ugh. I don't know. I found it pretty middle of the road, pretty boring. $94 million, though. Not bad. It's not bad for him.
Budget of 74?
On 74, but that's really not sequel money.
And it
though.
Hasn't gone overseas yet. So once it goes overseas,
those
Europeans love cheesy stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Czechoslovakians are confetti. They're going to be like, line up.
Yep.
The Russians will be like, let's see what this magic is all about.
Oh, yeah.
All right. What's number four movie?
All right. Number four this week, we have This Is the End. It had a weekend gross of $13 million. Total gross of $57.8 on a budget of $32.
That's good.
That's good job, Mr. Phenomenal movie.
All right, so you've seen
We've all seen it.
It was so funny.
You think it's movie of the year?
Movie of the year for me.
That's awesome.
Because I can't remember any other movies that I've seen this year. But so far, as base of originality, even the storyline.
Yeah.
The storyline was
surprisingly good.
It's like that's the emotional center of a couple of friends. It's their friendship and growing apart and sacrificing for each other. Yeah. It's got the freaking Apatowian right wing message at the end of it, you know, even though it's all covered in dick jokes and rape
Michael
jokes and
Sarah's
shit.
Michael Cera is hilarious.
Oh, Michael Cera is the funniest
crazy.
Thing in the world.
Danny McBride is great.
Yeah, what ends up happening with the character? Oh man, it's crazy.
Yeah, dude. And I mean, cameos galore. It's one of those movies that it's like I felt like a kid.
Yeah,
watching.
Yeah. It's definitely one of those like modern classics. You can easily tell your friends about it. You'll rewatch it. There's so many jokes in there. Like, you know, you miss some jokes. You know, even stuff in the background. Yeah, like, in James Franco's house, he has all this freaks and geeks stuff, like, hanging on the walls and shit, you know. It's over the top.
I saw this movie Stoned, so this time I'm going to go see it sober.
Stoned helps.
It definitely helps.
You could try Double Stoned.
No.
That might work. I'd be surprised how well that works sometimes.
So then, obviously, the way we rate movies, we do it financially speaking. Would you pay the money to see it in the theater? Would you wait for Redbox? Netflix? You would
go
theater? Yeah, we said theater, too. This is definitely one of the better movies of the year, for sure.
Three T's, everybody. It got three T's.
What are the three T's?
Theater. Right?
Oh, theater. Oh, all theater? Three T's. I was talking about the movie had three T's. I was
theater?
Like,
house?
Like titties, something else, and...
Something else.
And the Titanic. Titanic has two T's. Titanic and titties. What's the number three movie of the weekend?
Number three this week, we have Man of Steel. That had a weekend gross of $41.2 million.
All right.
Total gross of $210 on a budget of $225.
It's actually at $283 worldwide. It's starting to make its international bucks. We really enjoyed this movie. Drew and I reviewed it last week. So you can check out episode 23 for our review or chriscrespo.com for my written review. Pedro is making a face now.
And a sound.
Drew just sharded.
I enjoy the movie. I love the beginning part.
Yeah.
The middle part was fine.
Yeah.
when it got to the ending part.
By ending, do you mean just when the machines came down and
when the action started hitting?
Yeah, yeah.
It was just so overly top ridiculous.
It was too much.
100%.
Was it too much for you,
dude?
Dude, it's Superman.
Can we?
It's Superman, bro. Come on.
No. I get this. That I have to suspend disbelief with a man flying from another planet.
He's a freaking flying alien with laser eyes. Okay, come on.
But all that with suspension of disbelief given.
Okay. I'm gonna say this for the next 3 minutes. Spoiler alert.
All right. Yeah.
Ready? So I'm gonna give you 5 seconds. 1, 2, 3.
Go.
4, 5. All right. So they start fighting in this big city that's supposed to be Kansas. Fine. I'll give Kansas.
Oh, the Smallville battle? Yeah.
Fine. I'll give you Kansas has a big city like New York City.
Metropolis?
And all these. Metropolis.
No, yeah, at the end they're fighting in Metropolis.
Fine.
Yeah.
They're crushing buildings. Buildings are coming down like 9/11.
Millions of people
bringing
are dying.
Bringing it back to Men on the Wire. coming down.
Millions of people dying.
Millions.
Millions of people dying.
But there's only 16 of them that are still in the city walking out. Yep. Did everything stop?
Uh-huh.
Shit is going bananas.
Yeah, yeah.
They're destroying everything, right? All right, so this whole thing is going on. It's like a Michael Bay movie. Like Michael Bay is like saying it's like in his studio, he's like, this is too much.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
with
the
explosion.
Somehow
they end up in a museum that a family is still in the museum.
Yeah.
Perusing around, the Lois Lane character is coming out of some rubble somewhere, but was magically fast enough to make it in, know exactly what museum Zod and Superman were in.
Yeah, she found them.
And they're in there. And that museum has no structural damage, no anything. And the family's just still wondering. Buildings are going around.
Yeah.
The place. I didn't care about everybody's the big Superman taboo. I didn't care about that. I was fine with it.
What, the way he disposed of Zod?
Yes.
Yeah.
I was fine with it.
Yeah.
That's fine.
I was fine with that too.
I was okay with it.
And then the ending. What internet college did Superman go to that he was able to nail down a journalism degree and intern at the
Daily Planet?
Perfectly repaired and non-damaged Daily Planet.
Well, yes. I know. Maybe in all the time it took for it to be repaired, he went to DeVry University online, got his internet journalism degree. Maybe it took 12 months.
Could be. But that's it got to the point that I was, I'm leaving. I gotta. This is too much.
All right, so you didn't like it.
I
overall, it took you out of it. It was too much at the end there.
Watch it on Stars when it comes out. Because it's not going to be on HBO, people. It's going to end up in Stars.
On Stars. All right, well, there you go. That's the Pedro Lima review. Spoilerific review. Oh, not that spoilery, actually. Right. Actually, you were pretty pretty spoiler-free on that one, I got to say.
Was I?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, you just talk about them fighting, and it is true that they have this knock him out, drag him out battle. There's rubble everywhere. And then at the end, it's like, oh, it's Lawrence Fishburne. It's Amy Adams. It's all our principal characters are the ones that are still there.
Like little meerkats popping up.
Plus some random stupid
chick. One
chick
is trapped in rubble. There's one chick.
Yep, only one.
I'm here. Nobody else.
That's
true. Trapped, man.
It's because everyone else dipped out of there. But then again, if you got to kill millions to save billions, would you?
I want to see body parts. If you're going to do it,
If I had to, I would kill billions to save millions.
Would you?
Yes, I would.
Billions for millions.
Wait a second. speaking of wanting to see body parts, it is a PG-13 movie. Let's talk about the number two movie of the weekend.
Our number two movie this week, we have World War Z that had a weekend gross of $66 million. Same with a total on a budget of $190.
Ooh.
Speaking of bloodless PG-13 movies.
Yeah, no crap. There's like one speck, maybe two specks
Hold
of blood in this
up.
Movie.
This is a zombie movie.
Yeah.
Sort of.
There's lots of black tar.
Yeah.
But not so much blood.
Like there's blood on Epic, the cartoon movie.
Is there really?
I don't know.
Oh, there should be. If there was, I'd go see that shit, man. I've been avoiding that movie. No, like there's even a scene I noticed at the end, towards the end, Brad Pitt, and he's got some blood splatter on him, and they totally digitize it to make it black so it doesn't stand out. They wanted to make this as family friendly of a zombie movie as possible.
And they kind of did, too.
And they did. It's good for the whole family. Take your kids, Pedro.
It is.
Yeah, they'll enjoy
it's
it.
it's not going to freak him out.
It won't freak him out that much. No. It's intense. There's action.
My daughter's fine. My daughter likes being freaked out.
Oh, well, then, she may be pissed then because there's not enough gore for her.
No, no, no. She watches Walking Dead and
Walking Dead blows away World
Walking
War
Dead
Z.
Walking Dead is so much more gory.
It blows it away. World War Z is based on the Max Brooks book, World War Z.
Is it really, though? Because that was the biggest complaint.
No, it's not. It's only based on the title. They just took the title and the concept of a World War zombie apocalypse, and
Max
that's what
Brooks,
they did.
Mel Brooks' son.
The son of Mel, absolutely. Dude is obsessed with zombies, apparently.
Where the white woman at?
It would be crazy if Mel Brooks made a zombie movie. That would be, he would make it, it'd be like Dracula, Dead and Loving It, or something like that.
Give him time.
Max is obsessed with zombies. Like, he did the Zombie Survival Hand Guide first. You ever read that thing or see that thing?
No, I've seen
it. Straight up, like, if zombies were real, this is how you survive it. World War Z, a 20-year zombie war. See, that's another thing. This movie takes place over the course of what? A week?
Maybe.
The time span is like a week. The book takes place over the course of like 20 years.
Okay.
So.
Where's the book?
Yeah.
There's no budget.
There's more
books.
Room for that. Yeah. And there's a reason why they want to do a trilogy. You know, they want to make more movies out of this. So they took a tiny little sliver of what happened. But I don't think that's going to pan out. Because how much did it make, Drew?
66.
Another 45 international. It's going to have to make all its money international. It's at $111 million worldwide. They said the budget's $190 million, but that's a big fat lie.
Yeah.
This thing cost over $200 million, easy. When they started production on it in 2011, it had a budget of $125 million. And then production overruns and all these problems, and then they reshot the ending. Like, the last 30 minutes of the movie, they completely reshot it. A whole new ending. First, they had to write a new ending, and then they completely reshot it. Got it over $200 million. So a $66 million opening weekend on that really, really hurts them.
Yeah. And all Angelina has to say would be like, hey, whatever country grosses the most money, I will adopt a kid from that country.
Yeah.
And there'll be a line.
National campaigns.
Yep.
Save my child.
Take my baby.
They could use more kids, right? How many do they have? Six?
You got like
seven?
A lot.
So I was pretty disappointed. I was disappointed overall with World War Z. I think it's pretty meh.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to zombie movies, I was really looking for a whole lot more.
Yeah. No. Yeah, it's just an action movie.
The only fast zombies that I like is 28 Days.
Yeah, and even then, you can argue that they're not really zombies.
They're not really zombies.
Because they don't die first. They die afterwards when they starve out. Spoiler! Yeah.
Spoiler!
The movie's been out
10-year-old spoiler.
No spoiler on that one.
All right, so World War, meh, I would say Redbox. Redbox, that
Red
thing.
Boxing.
Maybe HBO. It's not worth checking out at the theater. Drew, what do you think?
Hey, go catch it at the cheap theater.
Dollar theater.
Like the dollar theater.
Oh.
Go check it at the dollar theater.
That dollar theater. That's also kind of if you think that maybe airplane worthy too. You're on the airline,
yeah.
$3, swipe the card.
Hey, yeah, why not?
You're stuck on an airplane. And there's an airplane crash scene in there, so that's always fun.
Yes.
Watching movies like that.
It's not going to be on the plane. It's not going
to... Oh, damn it.
They do that. On my flight to Scotland, I was able to see Argo.
Nice.
And I saw The Great and Powerful Oz.
Oh, yeah? What'd you think of that?
I liked them both.
Yeah?
They was fine. Because I here's the thing. When I, like you said, I go to the movie, when you like that magician movie, you went to the movie knowing what...
I was getting myself into. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. Like, I've gone to the theaters to see The Expendables.
Hell yeah, so have I. I want to see that shit.
I know what I'm getting.
I want to see those guys.
I love it when people get leave the theater and they're upset. It's like, I'm mad. So. Like, what do you think?
Yeah, exactly. What do you expect,
bro? Everybody that doesn't speak English in a movie with guns. Yeah. That's all it is.
Don't you want to see some Van Damme in a movie in 2011, 2012, whenever that last one came out?
He was great in that one. Such a good villain.
Van Damme is aging like fine wine, if you ask me.
And Chuck Norris. Chuck Norris himself.
With that dyed black beard. His beard was it was blacker than the blackest night.
It was like Hulk Hogan NWO black.
Oh, yeah, it was.
Charcoal black. Yeah, that was wrong. Sorry, World War Z. We're not really the biggest fans of that. And number one movie?
Yeah, number one movie this week, we have Monsters University that had a weekend gross of $82 million. Saved the total, and I got no budget.
Yeah, for some reason they didn't release a budget for this one, but Pixar movies cost typically these days about $180 to $200 million.
Oh, there you go.
So
really?
Yeah, they do. They're super expensive.
But this is, hold up, but they have the animation from back in 90-something.
Well, they're always developing new software.
It's always new.
Like with Brave, the last one that came out, the hair in that thing
looked like almost...
Yeah, the hair and the fabric and stuff.
Yeah.
The characters were wearing like 17 layers of fabric clothing that when you're watching, you can't notice that shit, but they go through such meticulous little details.
Everything's in the 3D,
right? But with Brave, they debuted a whole new animation system. That one took them 6 years. Monsters U apparently took a, quote, short 4 years to make. 270 people. 270 animators working on this damn thing.
Wow.
That's crazy.
That's a lot.
So that's how it ends up costing you $200 million.
How many used to be when it used to be by pencil?
Mm. Oh, man.
Remember?
The actual cell animation.
Black. Well, yeah, that
the Black New Orleans one was the last one.
The Princess and the Frog.
Yes.
The Princess and the Frog. That's the one where they actually brought back 2D animation over at Disney, because they shut down their 2D animation department totally for a few years. And then they brought it back with The Princess and the Frog, which I think did pretty well. I think that still cost them like over $100 million.
Was Lion King hand or was that computer?
Lion King was hand, but it had the first ever use of digital characters in an animated movie.
Okay.
The Wildebeest Stampede, all those Wildebeest are digital.
Okay.
Yeah, but that's all put over hand stuff. All like that Aladdin, all that stuff from the
90s. All drawn by hand.
All beautiful hand stuff.
I tried getting
stuff.
My daughter to watch that movie.
Yeah.
And she tapped out.
Oh, really? This isn't working?
It's like, but now she's old. So she might watch it now. I just gotta catch in a good mood.
You always try a really old school Dumbo. That stuff's on Netflix.
But it's the Lion King. I mean, come on, Jeremy freaking Irons.
I know
Scar.
Dumbo. The best part is the black crows.
Yeah.
But they edited out now for the kids
because they're horribly racist.
Yeah, well, but that's beautiful.
the crows aren't racist.
The Jim Crows.
The people that drew the crows and animated them and voiced them. Those people were racist.
And named them the Jim Crows.
The Jim Crows. Yeah, I've seen a horse fly. I ain't never seen an elephant fly. Yeah, that's bad, dude. That is bad.
Yeah, it is.
But they really cut that? They can't cut that out, though.
It's Disney. They can't.
Own up
anything.
To your freaking history. Yeah, they
should.
They should. But like Song of the South, that movie's locked up in a vault, never to be seen because it's all about a dude. Like, plantations are wonderful. Zippity doo dah. Everyone knows the freaking song.
Yeah.
That's weird. That is so weird. But Monsters University, I don't think it's racist. I don't know why we started talking about racism in movies. I think Monsters U is non racist. It's Pixar. Pixar.
Dumbo is horribly racist.
Dumbo, the elephant is not racist. He was a drunk. The crows.
Who is the drunk?
The Dumbo.
Dumbo.
Well, remember?
Dumbo got drunk.
There's that scene where he got drunk. Yeah, yeah.
With the pink elephant.
Pinocchio.
The pink elephant
Pinocchio
parade.
Pinocchio got smashed.
On the Island of Lost Boys. Yeah, yeah. And he was playing pool and billiards and they were smoking cigars because that's what bad kids do. Disney was crazy back in the day.
Yeah, they were.
Walt was also a Nazi lover.
Uh-huh. Yes, he was.
Embrace your past, Disney. We're calling you out. Did any of us see Monsters U?
No. I haven't taken them yet.
No.
I just got back.
You plan on it?
Yeah, they want to go see that. They wanted to see Epic, but I'd rather go see Monsters U.
Yeah, might as well go Pixar.
So much Aziz Ansari I can tolerate.
Well, you can kick them in the hole. Stop kicking me in the hole.
You're already in the hole.
You're already in the hole, Aziz. All right, so we got new movies coming out this week. Real quick, on DVD, The Call, starring Halle Berry, the WWE produced. Have you seen any of those? Have you remember that movie at all?
It's already done.
Yeah. So
once you say starring Halle Berry, X-Men involved in this?
No, there aren't.
Nope, don't care. Involved.
They're not. She is going to be in the new X-Men movie.
Yeah,
she's coming back as Storm.
Yeah. And I'll go see that. Halle Berry.
In a spandex suit. And the incredible Burt Wonderstone with Jim Carrey, Steve Carell, that Magicians movie, speaking of magicians. Actually, that one wasn't too bad.
I didn't see it.
You didn't see it?
Understood.
I saw it. It's definitely a Redbox type thing. It's not bad.
That movie, they panned Dumb and Dumber 2.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, it totally passed on that because they're like, oh, Jim Carrey, your star has faded. But then he had a really small role in the movie. It was a Steve Carell movie, you know? And Jim Carrey was great. Everyone agrees that he was great in that.
But they just...
I can't wait to see him in the new Kick-Ass movie.
Oh, yeah. Kick-Ass 2. He does look awesome in that. He looks ridiculous.
Does he shoot a gun in that movie?
I don't know.
I don't know.
They don't show him shooting guns.
Yeah, I know they don't show him shooting a gun.
Yeah.
I'm waiting to pounce on him.
Why?
If he shoots.
Has he come out against that in the past?
Because he came out against the guns, anti-weapon stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if you shoot a weapon in this movie,
I got you.
I'm on your ass.
I'm on you. I have the audio saved.
You hypocrite. It's a tweet.
I do remember there is a scene of him holding a gun.
Okay.
On someone, but then he, but then he has
fine. But if he's shooting an automatic rifle kind of thing, like an M16 or something,
maybe he could justify it through the character or the story themes or
he
something.
Was going after, if he's going after video games, he has to go.
Was that one of his targets? Yeah, yeah, interesting. He is a pretty outspoken dude at times.
He's also a lunatic.
He is. I was about to say he's also manic depressive. So. He has a different, one day he's railing against video games, the next day he's promoting to Emma Stone on YouTube.
Yeah,
exactly.
So that's weird. All right, so what's coming out in theaters?
Coming out in theaters this week, we have The Heat, starring Sandra Bullock and Melissa McCarthy.
All right, buddy comedy with chicks. Yeah. Drew just made an eye roll like airbrush, he is not interested.
Don't Melissa care. McCarthy.
Yeah, that poster thing was weird,
I'll
huh?
I'll go see it.
I'm gonna check it out.
Go see it because my wife wants you to go see it.
Oh, yeah, well, that's part of the reason why the movie got greenlit in the first place. Movie for the ladies.
I gotta give it a shot, dude. That's Melissa McCarthy.
Well, did you like
she's
Bridesmaids?
She's funny, but I don't like Sandra Bullock.
You're not a Bullock fan? America's Sweetheart.
Don't care.
Looking pretty good at the age of 48, too, if you ask
dude,
me.
She's
gotta
still
say.
Strong.
Don't care.
Wick, wick, nudge, nudge. Wark, wark. You know what I'm talking
one
about.
Sandra Bullock movie you like?
The Net. He's a big fan of The Net.
So terrible.
With Dennis Miller.
Hopefully, I will be a fan of Gravity when it comes out.
Gravity.
She flies out.
Because she's stuck in space.
Yep. And hopefully, she'll die.
I'm so scared. Keanu Reeves comes by with a bus.
Oh, that's scary. I got you. We're good.
Whoa.
Only if Dennis Hopper blows it up at the end.
I like Sandra Bullock. She's all right. She doesn't offend me. She doesn't offend my sensibilities or anything.
Yeah, I have no qualms with Sandra Bullock.
McCarthy is really funny.
McCarthy is very funny. I didn't see
Identity Thief. I was going to say, she's pretty much the best part.
Carlos is in that movie.
Yeah. Actually, that one scene is really funny, but then they blew that scene in all the trailers.
Yeah.
Because it's... almost the entire scene is in the trailer. It goes, it's a short scene, but it's pretty awesome though. And that movie was shot in Atlanta. I love the whole thing was shot in Atlanta, but it takes place the first part of it takes place in Winter Park, Florida.
Really?
Yeah, because the guy who wrote the original script is from here, so he wrote it with like local landmarks and stuff. And then he sold it to someone, and they had it developed, and they made it, and then they kept the city in there, Winter Park. But they didn't shoot it in Florida. And then when they had an establishing shot of Winter Park, Florida, they showed a coastline. So they have no idea where Winter Park is. Like, they showed a beach.
Winter Park is nowhere near the coast.
Exactly. It's hysterical. Because when I hear about stuff like that, like with Florida's in a movie or a city is, you know, Orlando's in a movie, I want to see if they actually use the location or if they're hiding it or, you know. I'm really always really interested in shit like that. And that one was totally, they filmed it in Atlanta, but it took place in everywhere in the country except for Atlanta. Bunch of bastards. Movie magic.
Hooray.
That is movie magic. But anyway, but The Heat, directed by the guy that did Bridesmaids, and also I just found out did a bunch of work on Arrested Development, which I just got into recently.
Is that Melissa McCarthy's husband?
No. Her husband is, remember in Bridesmaids, the air marshal?
Yeah, yeah.
That dude is.
He was doing a movie. Like, it was his first time directing.
Oh, really?
Writing, so yeah. I'm not sure if it's this.
No, that's not the same guy. This guy, Paul Feig, F-E-I-G. He was doing Arrested Development for a while. I guess other TV stuff before that, and a lot of comedy. And he had a big hit with Bridesmaids, so he was able to get The Heat made.
That's what's up.
I'm assuming that's how it works.
You just need one hit, and then you get clearance.
You get your dream project. Yeah, absolutely. And then once that bombs, you're like, all right, so you want a sequel? And what else is coming out?
White House Down.
Sweet.
Starring Channing Tatum and Jamie Foxx. Directed by Roland Emmerich.
Magic Mike as John McClane saves Ray Charles, President Ray Charles.
He's President like Malcolm X to me.
Yeah, you think so?
Because he has the glasses, he has the black suit. He talks very subtle like this.
But then there's at least one commercial I saw where some terrorist, like they're both on the ground, and some terrorist is grabbing him as the president, and he's kicking him, and he's like, get off my plane! No, he says, get off my Jordans, because he's like grabbing his shoes, and he's like kicking him, he's like, get off my Jordans. Like, what president's going to say, get off my Jordans?
Oh, God, this movie's so good. Jimmy Fox,
President
to
Jimmy
work.
Fox will.
I mean, Jimmy Fox, President Django. I like Jamie Foxx, but he looks a little...
Can we,
I can't
can
buy
we
him
all,
as a president.
Can we all agree that the reason we like Django was Christoph Waltz.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Everyone everyone knows.
Christoph Waltz he's and the man. Samuel L. Jackson.
Those are the best performances.
You know what I mean?
Samuel L. Jackson should have been at least nominated for freaking awards for what he did. He was great. Christoph Waltz ended up winning, which surprised me a little bit.
You couldn't replace Jamie Foxx with any other
They wanted Will Smith originally. You know.
But that's fine. To me, it would have worked.
With anyone?
And I think any with black anyone. Actor, it would have worked.
Yeah, they were looking at a bunch of them, and it ended up being good old Jamie Foxx. He did contribute some stuff on his own, though, like the horse that he rides in that movie. That's his horse.
Yeah,
and at the movie, at the end, they're doing all the tricks and shit. I mean, he really did it with his horse. So that brought some authenticity to the horse
Smith
riding stuff.
I think if Will Smith would have done Django, it would have just brought memories of Wild Wild West.
Oh, that, yeah.
And people would have tuned out real quick.
That's possible, absolutely. But then, it's hard to gauge that. One for like 5 years ago, Will Smith was like the biggest movie star in the world, easy. Now, After Earth didn't do so hot. He hasn't really been in a big movie. Men in Black 3 did okay, you know. But then again, it's a Men in Black movie, so.
Which was a good Men in Black movie.
It was a lot better than the second one.
Oh my god, the second one was garbage.
The second one sucked. That second one stuck. And then the third one had so many problems, production problems. I went into it with such low expectations. I was like, this movie is going to suck because they stopped filming in the middle of it to rewrite things and it's a time travel story. So I was like, these guys are screwed. They're going to make a jumbled mess of a movie. And then I saw the film. I was like, hey, this is a watchable thing.
Yeah, it's any movie that has a jackass in it is poison.
Knoxville, that you would think so, right? Like The Last Stand, the Schwarzenegger movie from earlier this year.
Yeah, how did that go?
Schwarzenegger was great, but then Knoxville pops up and he's wearing a stupid hat.
Isn't Stallone and Schwarzenegger having a movie called
There's one Escape? Coming out called Escape Plan, where it's like they're in, there's a, Stallone plays a guy who designed
life,
a prison. It's an action version of life. Yeah, Stallone designed a prison that's like the world's most high-tech prison, but for some reason he gets locked up in there, so he has to bust out of his own prison, and the only guy that can help him is this dude, Emil, who's Arnold, because you can't name him Chuck or Larry. He has to be like Emil.
I'm Charles Friedman.
And they're going to break out of this prison together. And finally, a movie with just the two of them teaming up together.
Yeah.
15, 20 years too late, but whatever.
Expendables,
they add a little bit together. Yeah. Hopefully, you know who they have cast for the third Expendables. Woo-wee, buddy.
Seagal?
Not yet. They're still working on Seagal. They're working on it. Nicolas Cage.
They got
Nick Cage. Wesley Snipes.
Yes.
Mila Jovovich. Jackie Chan.
Okay.
And I want to say there's someone else. At least that's it right there. I mean, that's good enough. Wesley Snipes,
where's
about damn time.
Where's the white guy from American Ninja? Can we get him
work?
Oh, man. What's that guy's name? Dudikoff?
Let's get Dudikoff some work, people. American Ninja spawned 7 sequels.
Did it really?
Wow. It's like ridiculous. That is American ridiculous. Ninja 7.
What about...
Get the kids from Three Ninjas some work, too.
They're all grown up. Mark Dacascos in there.
The guy from Kickboxer.
Sasha Mitchell.
Yeah.
Bolo Young. Is Bolo Young still alive?
Maybe not. I don't think so. I think that dude actually ran into some legal troubles. He might be in a Thai prison right now. That guy. The other person that I forgot, one guy that signed on to be a villain in Expendables, also going to be a villain in Machete Kills, Mel Gibson.
Good.
Yep. And that's what he's doing now. Now he has two bad movies coming out back to back where he's going to play a villain, a high profile bad guy.
And introducing Carlos Estevez.
That was great. All right. So those are new movies coming out. We're going to take a quick break, go into the Crespo Disco. I'm going to play a song for you guys off the Heat soundtrack. It's by a group called Passengers. No one ever heard of this. Ever heard of Passengers?
No.
No, but they were on the Heat soundtrack, so that makes them cool. Name of the song is Always Forever Now. Enjoy it. We'll be right back with Pedro Lima. And we're going to go into the Crespo Dome where things are going to get wild. I need a new beer. We'll be right back.
Do it.
What? Cinema. Crespo. Diso. Cinema. Crespo. Diso. Thank you very much.
In mono.
Are you guys ready?
Coming to you live in mono. Cinema Crespo Diso.
Welcome back to Cinema Crespo Diso. Thank
live
you, Drew,
mono.
For the mono introduction. It is me, still Christopher Crespo, with Drew Sikogmer. And Drew, how's it going?
Yeah, it's going.
And special guest Pedro Lima.
Yay!
We're having a good time. Now Pedro's got a Pabst, and we're enjoying ourselves. Drew's got himself a hard cider.
Hard cider.
When did that cider win an award? This one won an award 120 years ago.
According to my label, this has never won an award.
Hasn't won shit.
Has a woodchuck on it. This mine does. Has a ribbon.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's blue.
So who's classing now, bitch? Welcome back to Cinema Crespo Diso. So we're having a good time. We're just chilling. Pedro, thanks for hanging out, man.
Oh,
we
dude,
appreciate
thanks for
it.
Having me, man.
Oh, it's our pleasure.
Little buzz in there. Get rid of that buzz.
Buzz, buzz, buzz.
We're going to do the Crespo Dome first. Before that, let's get the plugs out of the way.
Plug.
All right. Go to chriscrespo.com. Go there now. Actually, no. Wait till the show's over and then go there. Just posted my World War Z review. World War Meh. There's my Man of Steel review. My This Is the End review. Netflix picks of the week. All that shit. Back episodes of Cinema Crespo Diso. On Twitter, I am Chris Crespo.
Who are you?
I am Chris Crespo, and my Twitter account is I am Chris Crespo. Drew is
at Antihero419.
Pedro
Rican Gorilla,
because he's a giant Puerto Rican.
He is
Rican
and I
Gorilla.
Break stuff.
Hey, I know how that goes.
I've broken past the last two shows. I've broken the mic on stage.
Nice.
Oh, really?
Yeah, dude, it's not good.
Out of anger with the audience?
No, dude. Out of a bit that I do where I drop the mic.
Yeah. You do a mic drop.
So I dropped the mic, and it always past 2 weeks, it's hit perfect.
Yeah.
That you hear that pop.
Oh.
Once I hear that pop, I'm like, oh, I can't even finish the
joke. I just bought a mic.
Oh, man.
Like, oh. So I broke one, and then the booker from this club goes, hey, man, I didn't want to say anything about, because, you know, you did a great job, but, you know, that mic cost me $70.
Yeah.
I go, well, I'll go to Radio Shack, pick one up for 20.
Here you go.
Even. And then I did a show back. Lakeland Friday, and I broke the mic.
Oh, so, man, you're going to need a start bringing your own mics.
Stop doing that bit.
Seriously.
Stop doing the mic drop. See, the thing is, if a normal person does a mic drop bit, the mic is only falling, you know, 4 feet or so.
Yeah.
But if you drop it, man, it's like
7 feet down.
You're climbing to the top of Mount Everest to drop that thing.
It's Philippe Petit falling from the World Trade Center.
Oh, that's a long fall. That's a long fall. So you are a stand-up comedian. That is your bread and butter? That is your trade?
Yeah, that's what keeps me somewhat sane.
Good. Everyone needs stuff like that. Where can people get information about you, about your stuff online?
You know what?
Should they just go to your Facebook?
The website is still in its infancy. If you want to go RicanGorilla.com, you can find some clips. I normally just direct the bookers over there. But everything, if anything, if you want to be entertained, follow me on Twitter.
Actually,
follow me on Facebook.
Actually, I recommend following at Rican Gorilla on Twitter because he is hysterical.
Yeah,
it's one of the funniest Twitters I follow.
I'll watch something. Like, if there's an award show, I'll watch the award show and I'll comment the whole
hell
time.
Hell yeah. That live
NBA
tweeting.
Anything. Yeah, I'll do live tweeting of anything. BET Awards, we have a crew called the Goon Squad that will watch the BET Awards.
Nice.
And we'll just go ham on it.
Awesome. Very awesome. Do you have anything coming up around town or anything? Anything to promote?
My last show that I have scheduled will be in Tampa, Side Splitters Comedy Club, July 5th to the 7th, I want to say.
Okay.
That sounds about right.
So right after 4th of July weekend. Yeah,
yep.
So about two weekends away.
Me and Matt Davis, a funny guy from Alabama, performing at Side Splitters. I'm telling you, that's one of the best clubs in the state.
Really?
They have the greatest 6 o'clock show. On Saturday. They do 3 shows on Saturday.
Okay.
First show starts at 6 o'clock in the afternoon, which is unheard of.
That's pretty early
That's
for
early.
Comedy. Yeah.
But
you want your comedy at nighttime.
The crowd is fantastic.
Is it because they're used to that time slot? People
they
just turn out for it?
They just turn them in. It's like people will go. It's like, you know what? Let's start the evening. Let's watch some comedy.
And then go.
And then go.
8 o'clock. And then we have the whole night to do everything.
Yeah, that's
it's
actually a good idea.
It's always packed. It's a great atmosphere. That club is my favorite, hands down. I
cool.
call it my home club.
Nice. Cool.
Even though I pretty much, I mean, I started in New York, but I pretty much, like, grew up in stand-up in Orlando.
Yeah.
But I call Side Splitters my home club, dude.
Word.
Because it's just amazing.
Well, actually, you mentioned that a little bit there. That brings me to my first question. Let's get into the Crespo Dome here.
Ooh.
I think it's going to get crazy.
Oh, man.
I got a few questions for you.
Shoot.
And I wanted to ask you about how you got started in the stand-up, whole stand-up thing. Very stereotypical question, but obviously the answer is always going to be different. So you started in New York.
I started in New York. I've always been a fan of stand-up.
Yeah.
My buddies used to do stand-up. And
Where were you living in New York? Brooklyn?
I was living in...
Queens?
I was a gypsy when I first moved to New York. Yeah. I lived in Long Island.
Mm-hmm.
Then I moved to Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
I lived in Chelsea for a little bit.
Nice.
Then I moved from Manhattan. I moved to the Bronx.
The Bizonx.
Yep. I lived there for 2 weeks because then my landlord dog died. And he didn't bury the dog deep enough.
Oh, no.
So that stench started coming into my apartment.
Oh, no.
And I just bailed.
That sucks.
So I moved from the Bronx to Staten Island.
Shaolin?
Yeah, to the Shaolin.
That's where I'm from. I'm from Staten Island.
Are you? Yeah. Well, I lived in Grasmere.
Oh, Grasmere. Yeah, all right. Yeah,
so
that's pretty close to where I was.
I lived with my uncle and my aunt, which we used to call Vietnam. Because that's a war that never ended. So as soon as my uncle walked into the house, it was a fight, dude.
Oh,
and
wow.
It was from like 6 o'clock. Till like one of them went to sleep.
That's too much,
blah,
man.
Blah, 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 blah. And I was
that's
living
stressful.
In the basement.
And you could still hear it all.
And I was done. So my grandmother rescued me. She goes, live with me in Brooklyn. So I live with my grandmother in Brooklyn in Sunset Park.
Yeah, that's where all the Puerto Ricans are.
And it's all Chinese now.
It is all Chinese now. It's crazy. Now it's like half Puerto Rican, half Chinese.
Half
They're totally
Dominicans.
Taking over.
The Dominicans have like the main street.
Yeah.
And then the Chinese took over the other side.
They encroached.
So it was me, my grandmother, and her roommate who had foot cancer, or she had some sort of cancer, which every time she would put her black foot on the table and massage it while I was eating breakfast or dinner. It's like honestly, dude, I'll be eating and all of a sudden you just hear and it's her putting the foot there and I'm like, this fucking so then I was gonna leave New York. I was supposed to do radio school with Angel.
Okay. Yeah.
And Angel was supposed to come pick me up so we can move. And then I met my wife in New York. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know what, dude? I think I'm going to stick around here.
Interesting. You stayed for love.
So when I stayed in New York,
for
a couple of buddies of mine were doing stand-up.
Mm-hmm.
And so I used to write jokes for them. And I went to see them once. And they would not do the joke the way
you wrote it.
I intended,
the way you envisioned
and
it.
Dude, and that bothered me. It's no, dude, you got to deliver it. And I always had stage fright.
Okay.
So then I get married, my wife gets pregnant, and I didn't want to be the dad to tell the kids, you can do anything in life you want, you just have to go try it.
Mm-hmm.
And not try it yourself?
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Because you're quote-unquote afraid.
Yeah.
That
so
makes
I
sense.
Had no idea how to do it. So I learning annex, I saw something, you want to do stand-up comedy? I was like, all right. So I took
it.
A learning annex class. The Booker from Stand Up New York is there.
Mm-hmm.
I pretty much stood out. Not saying that I was amazing. It was infancy. It was garbage.
But you had something over everyone else. A little something.
So she's like, you know what? Come do showcases and stuff like that. So I started doing showcases. I took the actual class at the comedy club.
Uh-huh.
There's a guy that's on CNN or Headline News, Brian Baltasar. Who me and him took the class.
Oh,
and
wow.
He worked for like NBC or something like that.
Crazy.
And I started doing there, and she fell in love with me. She goes, anytime you want to come, you know, just let me know. At that time, I just moved to Florida because what I was paying for a house.
An
apartment in New York is what I'm paying for a 4-bedroom house with a pool here.
Yeah, the cost difference is ridiculous.
So me and my wife just moved down here to Florida. And then it's like, man, let's go check some comedy. When you used to go to the open mic at Orlando Improv when it used to be in downtown.
Right.
And I would see people perform. It's like,
I could do this.
So I said, all right, as soon as I get my surgery, my knee surgery.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I had
knee surgery. I blew up my ACL, MCL.
Ooh.
I tore up my knee.
Doing what?
Playing football. Wow. And
ugh.
So I went and got my surgery done. I said, when I'm done with that, I'm going to start doing it. The shows. And
yeah.
I started doing shows at the Orlando Improv.
Mm-hmm.
And Wednesday shows.
And then for material, were you at this point, were you just writing jokes at the house? Where you had a notepad and you were just coming up with shit?
Yeah, everything. When you start doing stand up, you got to start talking about yourself.
Yeah.
That's the first structure.
The easiest way to get. Yeah, you got to find your own voice, that whole thing.
You make fun of yourself, and then that opens up because you got to make people comfortable that you're comfortable about making fun of yourself.
Okay.
And then you start. Making fun of other things, and people go with the journey. A lot of guys that start off, They want to be the cool cat and make fun of everything.
The whole Jeselnik thing.
And not make fun of themselves.
Right, right.
Kind of thing. But yeah, they used to do Wednesday contests at the Orlando Improv where you win $100 if you won.
How would they determine that? Like
crowd reaction.
Okay.
First time ever I went there, I packed the place.
No shit.
So I won.
Why? Because you're just all your friends?
That's what one comic said. He goes, oh, somebody stacked the deck. I didn't even know there was a deck to be stacked. I thought there was a judge that was going to do it. And said, like, oh, yeah. Cool. I won money.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then I heard that comic say, he stacked the deck. So I said, all right, I'll come back next week. I won't even say anything.
Not to mention.
Back the next week, uh-huh. I won that contest again.
Wow.
And then I just made it every month I would go perform. It got to the point that I was not allowed to win contests.
There are this guy.
At the improv.
Like you're a blue chipper now.
Yeah. My buddy Ian. There was a big prize, dude. There was an $800 prize.
Yeah.
And he goes, Pedro,
you can't go.
You won. You won. But I have to give it to somebody.
Oh.
I go, oh, that's fine. Give it to him. Just give me the money. Let him have first place and stuff like that. It's like, you got second place. Don't worry, dude. You'll be fine.
And still gave you something.
And then from that, that's when I started getting gigs.
Okay.
And stuff like that.
Sorry, actually getting paid without having to win it.
The guy that won first place is not working that much.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which he told me is like first place is normally a curse in these big contests.
Really?
Yeah, because whoever wins first place really doesn't amount to shit.
Really?
Yeah. Second place, they still have that anger that they
usually okay, win. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I can see that. Yeah. I can see that. I guess that's sort of American Idol-ish, too. No one ever knows who the freaking winners are.
But Kelly Clarkson's the best one,
everyone
baby.
Knows Jennifer Hudson. She got kicked out before they even got to
the
top
10. Oscar.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, and everybody think that country chick is good, but Kelly Clarkson has had more hits.
She's been everywhere.
Than that, whatever that
Underwood? Carrie Underwood?
Yeah, Carrie Underwood.
She's still there pretty good.
Jesus, take the wheel. Whatever. Kelly Clarkson is a bad bitch.
So you were just doing some improv, won a bunch of contests, and just started getting paid, mm-hmm. and that was it. You were on your stand-up journey.
And then you take off from there, man.
How many years has it been for you?
It's 10 years.
10 years now?
10 years now.
Wow.
My daughter's going to be 10 years old in September.
That's awesome. Another question I had was favorite places around the country. You already mentioned.
Tampa. Tampa Side Splitters is fantastic.
Yeah, that's you said that's the one.
That one's great to perform at.
Any other places stand out like that?
Stand Up New York is... I like... This is what I like. A-rooms are great. A-rooms are, like, established comedy clubs.
Like Caroline's.
Like Caroline's.
Yeah.
Like Miami Improv.
Right.
Like, you know, big buildings that are specifically for that.
Orlando Improv.
But I love performing in grimy places. Like in New York City,
dive bars.
Yeah, my buddy will do these shows in bars. And in the back, they'll have a stage because they'll play bands there.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And just set it up like the comedians of comedy kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I like that energy. And those are the only venues that you are able to perform with your friends.
Yeah.
And anytime you perform with your friends, it's going to be a great show.
Yeah, that's true.
Because if you do good or bad, we're still laughing.
You're still together.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We're laughing harder if you suck. You know what I mean?
And then it's going to be contagious, and it's going to make the whole experience better.
It's so much fun.
Yeah.
And it's just doing that. Now it's weird because now I've gone to the point of somewhat producing shows.
Oh, really?
Because now I book shows at the Abbey.
Nice.
Okay.
So Abbey is like once a month,
mm-hmm.
Which is funny because the guy that pretty much got me started here in Orlando, Ian Gutowski,
mm-hmm.
is the one that's going to be headlining the show there July 13th if you guys want to go.
Okay.
Just follow me on Twitter. I'll post that in a couple weeks.
Recon Gorilla. Follow him on
there. This shit.
If you're producing the show, is it going to have a name to it? Like every month, it's this show.
It's called the Orlando Comedy Show.
Okay. Very simple. I like
very
it.
Very simple.
It describes exactly what it is. You took an astrophysicist approach to naming your show.
Well, I didn't even name that.
Comedy.
It
was already named that
the
already.
The other guy named it, Darren Rockwell, who's an actual magician here in the area.
Oh, right.
He named it that. I was fine. I didn't want to name it the Orlando because it just...
Localizes it. Yeah. Yeah.
But, dude, Orlando has...
There's talent here.
Great talent.
Yeah.
And they're leaving.
Because it's a perception that you have to go to New York or L.A. to make this happen.
It gets to the point because the local clubs don't support.
Oh, really?
Yeah, dude. The Orlando Improv doesn't support any of the local comics.
It's always they bring in comics from out of the town.
Not only that, dude, but it's just weird. There's a lot of good guys that are talented that Orlando Improv doesn't take care of. And it's not the building itself. It's just one scumbag there.
The one guy that unfortunately holds the keys.
Which I don't want to say his name is Gary Mankey, but that's the guy. And
that is the biggest room. Is that the only like A room,
well,
so to speak,
A
in town?
Room in Orlando.
That is the Orlando
A
room.
Comedy rooms, and here's the thing.
Like you got the Bonkers over at the Why Not Lounge,
Bonkers,
right?
Bonkers has Why Not Lounge, a Boardwalk, Cafe Annie.
What's over at Boardwalk?
Boardwalk. It's a Bonkers.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
They do Friday and Saturdays. Here's the thing: you can call it an A room if it's a specific building. But comedy's comedy, man.
Yeah.
And you're going to come across some guys that are super funny at Bonkers. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're going to come across some guys that still have that hunger. I mean, it's not going to be big names, but it's affordable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That you can go and enjoy, and you can watch some up-and-coming comics. There's a lot of comics that left. Look, Ricky Ray is out. Carmen Morales is out.
Uh-huh.
Jason Hunter moved to Seattle. Darren Moore moved to L.A., Patrick Garrity, I mentioned him. I'm not sure. He moved to LA. Like, a lot of guys from LA.
That's ridiculous.
The guy from, what's that fat show on CBS with Melissa McCarthy?
The Mike and Molly.
Billy Gardell.
Yeah.
From Winter Park.
Oh, is he really?
He's from Winter Park, Florida. Started at Bonkers.
No shit. Yeah.
He comes here at least once a year and does it, and still does a show for Bonkers.
But now
he can easily do it.
But he's in LA now.
At the Improv. Yeah, no. But he comes every holiday.
Okay.
Either November or December, he comes into town.
Yeah, yeah.
And he'll do a show. And that man has the pool that he can do it at an A club.
Yeah, yeah. But he'll do it.
But he stays loyal and does it. And that's the type of that we gotta do.
That's good. It's comedy's crazy, man. I've always been peripherally interested in the comedy business. That's the thing. Stand-up comedians are always they seem so miserable. But
isn't it weird?
It's crazy. Yeah, I guess
it's supposed to be like the happiest thing.
Because you're bringing laughter to everybody else. So that's probably why you're so
miserable. through your misery.
Behind it, dude. It's so cutthroat and so catty and
the politics of all the different rooms and
is what makes people bitter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then you go through phases like everything else.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the first every time I see somebody starting comedy, the first 3 years, you're happy. I'm just happy to get here.
Yeah.
I'm just happy to perform. I love performing.
You're an ideologue. Yeah. You're like,
I think, everything's happy. By year three, it's like, man, why is he doing this? Why am I not getting this?
Yeah, why is he headlining?
Then you start that anger.
That whole professional
jealousy
thing.
Like
that. Yeah, that seems pretty rampant amongst stand-up comedians.
Yeah. By year six, then you already stop giving a fuck.
You're just like, I don't fucking care anymore.
So you just start, burning bridges just for fun.
Like, what?
Just see things burn.
You want me to host an open mic night? Yeah, sure, whatever.
Yeah, I'll host it. Oh, dude. Yeah, exactly. But that's the thing. I go by the Heath Ledger rule,
which is
the Joker, is like, if you're good at something, never do it for free.
That's true.
Exactly.
That's very true. That's extremely true. We should put that on the wall somewhere. Stand-up comedian movies. Have you noticed that there are no movies about stand-up comedians?
Punchline, Tom Hanks.
Yeah, that's what? That was 80, mid-80s?
The lady that does the voice of Marge Simpson?
Not Yearly Smith. The other
one.
What movie?
It's Marge? Who's Marge Simpson?
I can't think of their name.
One of those ladies that has a great, I think it's called The Story of My Life.
Yeah, and it's about stand-up?
It's about female stand-up.
Interesting.
Mike Birbiglia just released
Sleepwalk With Me.
I
was going to ask you.
You haven't seen it yet.
That's a pretty good one. But that one's about him, though. It's like a disguised version of him.
But it's you know what it is? It's hard to show that, like, what they go through.
I think the process of it.
Like, that's why comedians are good for drama.
Because
anybody
can. Because they're miserable. And they can tap into that.
We can tap into that and we can be funny. But serious actors or actors, they can't.
It is hard for them to do comedy. That's very, very true. Like Leonardo DiCaprio, he's doing this Wolf of Wall Street movie with Martin Scorsese. And that's supposed to be a dark comedy. Like a really black, dark comedy. But he's DiCaprio. He's so stiff. Like,
He's not a funny guy.
He's not a funny guy. I'm sure he's going to have a good time, but it's not, you know, I don't, I'm not going to DiCaprio
Are
for my comedy.
Are you guys not
DiCaprio
fans?
Oh, I love DiCaprio. Yeah. I love him, good but stuff. These, I don't see him doing anything funny. He's a very, serious
about
what he
Hill's
does.
In the movie.
That's that is why Jonah Hill's the movie. Freaking Jonah Hill, love that guy. Did you see Comedian? That Jerry Seinfeld documentary.
Okay, there's a lot of documentaries that are good.
There's a lot of documentaries.
Comedian
yeah.
was good. The only thing is that after watching a couple times, it's like he kind of sandbagged.
Orny Adams. Okay, I was gonna ask you, have you met Orny Adams?
I've never met him personally.
Yeah.
Everybody that's met him said he's a nice guy.
Really? Because he comes across as a manic guy. A manic dick in that show, in that movie. Yeah.
But it could be like, hey, dude, can you for the scene? Can you just be a dick?
Can you freak out a little bit? That's true.
Okay. They
can set that up.
Because it's like, oh, man, I'm in the Seinfeld movie.
Yeah.
It's going to be funny.
And then later
and
it turns out.
How they cut it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Ian, there's a couple of guys from Full Sail that's come to the Why Not, back when the Why Not used to do open mic.
Uh-huh.
And they would come and record, and they wanted Ian to do things. And Ian will go into rants, and they'll cut it just right, just to make Ian sound like an egotistical asshole. And Ian would get upset, dude. And I'm like, you're the asshole that agreed to talk to them.
True, yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
If they can cut it up.
Yeah, you never give them
You give control. Them the give them the power to take your words and tie them up however it needs to be tied up. What are you doing over there, Drew? You're making things
making
all buzzy. And
unfortunately,
none of that's going to come across in the audio. Comedian is a good one, though. Yeah, I was going to ask about it, because Orny Adams does come across as such a douche.
Yeah, Orny Adams is good. I got to work with Bobcat Goldthwait.
Oh, Bobcat. I love
his
Bobcat.
Movies are great.
God Bless America. Oh, man.
Fantastic.
Oh, my God.
What a good movie.
I haven't seen World's Greatest Father, but I
that's
hear
good.
It's great.
It's good. Yeah. I think World's Greatest, God Bless America is better. I think that's his, like, top movie, but World's Greatest Dad is still, he specializes in being able to make movies that go there, you know, places where other people don't want to go. It's like, oh, I'll make a movie that centers on my son dying from autoerotic asphyxiation.
True story.
Sure.
I'm going to tell you a true story.
I love
this
true
is
stories.
Before he released God Bless America.
All right.
I swear on my kids. We're in the back office in Knoxville, Tennessee, because we're performing at Knoxville at Side Splitters. And we start talking about movies and stuff like that. And I go to him. And I go, you know, he goes, oh, I got this movie coming up. And he's telling me all these scenes. I'm just like, man, that's pretty gory. Awesome.
Yeah, yeah, like shooting
go,
babies.
But you
and
know
stuff,
what?
Yeah.
You never see. You never see somebody shooting a baby. He starts laughing.
Really?
And he goes, "You know, it's funny that you say that. The opening sequence of the movie, is they throw
a baby in the air and they shotgun
with
a baby.
Shotgun,
but they don't show it.
No,
you know
what I mean? It's off camera, but."
But the blood splatter is not off camera.
Yes. But it's there, and I go, I'm in.
We saw that at Florida Film Festival last year, 2012.
So
packed screening, like every seat was taken.
Standing ovation.
Standing ovation. People were into it. Like really, once that baby got shot in the beginning, and the whole theater erupted in laughter, like shocked laughter. I'm sure if Bobcat was there, he'd be like, all right, good. These people, they get it. You know, they didn't freak them out that
Dude,
I just destroyed a baby.
I mean, I wish I had his number. But
I wish he had his number too, Pedro.
Awesome. But honestly, dude, if you can get a hold of him, he's a great guy to talk to.
I would love to.
Just movies alone.
Yeah,
just
I mean,
sit there and just.
Guy's always made, even going all the way back to Shakes the Clown, he's making movies about alcoholic clowns and stuff. I mean, man, Bobcat's a crazy dude.
He is.
Fun guy. He's a
very,
fun guy.
Rich, very sweet guy, too, man.
All right, well, I got some movie news to get into here. Real quick, did you guys know Robert Downey Jr. just signed on to do Avengers 2 and 3?
How old is he going to be by the time Avengers 3 comes out?
57 or so.
CGI it, baby.
Yeah, all he has to do is put his face in the mask and then everything
so
else is...
Bad.
You know, he's not even... in, like, it's just him in a studio. In a
a lot of it is,
And he's getting paid mad money.
Crazy money. That's the thing. With Iron Man 3, that was it for his contract. So Marvel didn't have him locked up for nothing. They haven't signed him for any more Iron Man movies yet. He might be done with actual Iron Man movies, but Avengers 2 and 3, they had to lock him up. The reason Avengers made $1.5 billion is because everyone loves Iron Man.
Yeah.
No one's going to see that because of Thor.
Nope.
Right?
Correct.
I mean, Thor's cool.
Oh, Hulk.
It's not Iron
or
Man.
Or Hulk.
Though.
Hulk is cool.
I mean, Iron Man,
Mark Ruffalo
is
cool. No,
Captain
Robert
America.
Not Robert Downey Jr.
No. I think, but the thing is that if Iron Man movies weren't that good, If the first one didn't hit, nobody would have cared.
Well, if the first one didn't hit, there wouldn't be an Avengers. Correct. None of those movies would have been made. I mean, after Iron Man made so much money, Marvel was like, holy shit, maybe we can
Edward
do this.
Edward Norton rebooting the Hulk.
That didn't work out for him.
It doesn't work out because Edward Norton is a hard guy to work
with. That's the problem, yeah.
But he repaired.
I thought he was good.
The Hulk, because he rewrote pretty much that movie.
And it's directed by the same guy that did Now You See Me. The Magician's movie.
That rewrote, and that started the whole...
like tying it with ending, the Avengers. And ending, that here's like the Stinger
secret
scene.
Ending,
Nicolas Cage. Not Nicolas Cage. Nick Fury, Samuel Jackson, walks into a scene and like, there's the Avengers initiative, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Laying the groundwork for
and
the Avengers.
And then for the Hulk, it was Robert Downey Jr. talking to Nick Nolte.
Yeah.
I hear you have a problem.
But and then there was one where they ended with them finding the hammer, Thor's hammer in the middle of the desert. Was that Captain America? I can't remember. No, Captain America ended with Captain America waking up and being like, I'm in Times Square. Thor hammer was the end of Iron Man 2.
Was it Iron Man 2?
Iron Man 2.
Like, we found it.
We found the hammer, and no one can pick it up because it's Mjolnir.
Correct.
Also, movie news, Prometheus 2 script is underway.
No.
Yep, it's happening. New writer, though. New writer. Damon Lindelof is not writing Prometheus 2. A lot of people place all the blame for Prometheus, what people don't like about it, the questions that don't get answered and all that shit. They blame that on Lindelof because, you know, the whole Lost thing. So now they got some new guy who hasn't even really done much, but he's some
answers,
new dude.
What answers do people want?
I don't know what people are really looking for.
So they showed you where the aliens came from.
Like, they wanted to know more about the aliens' purpose and stuff. Well, like, maybe that's going to be in the sequels. Yeah, that's what sequels are for.
Why does an alligator attack?
Why?
It's a reptile.
Why am I hungry?
We want to know your feelings. Why are you so angry? Talk to us.
Well, of course they were going to make... Prometheus did make $400 million worldwide.
Listen, Gremlins of course 3 should already be... Or a reboot of Gremlins.
They are working on another Gremlins reboot.
Are they?
Yeah, they announced that a couple months ago,
Is it your script?
And it is not my script. Me and a friend sat down years ago and we...
So great.
And we wrote a 3-hour Gremlins prequel called Mogwai. And it starts like 1,000 years ago in feudal Japan, and it's about this race of pygmy people that they get turned into the Mogwai, and then they get turned into gremlins, and one of them, Gizmo, is actually like 200 years old or some shit like that, and a samurai takes them in and teaches them the ways of the samurai, and then the Japanese army, get this part, the third act ends with World War II, the Japanese army, like the scientists, they get gremlins, and they digitally manufacture them, and then they put them on crash the kamikaze planes into American ships, and then the gremlins break out, like the gremlins hit the water, and they multiply, and then they climb onto the ship, they start killing people, and that's why soldiers are like, oh, they're gremlins, they pulling out all the wires and everything, blah blah blah. We spent months and months on this
crazy
ridiculous screenplay.
I've read like two or three different versions of it over those years.
It turns out exactly. And imagine if you drop one in the ocean, how many gremlins are you going to get overrunning? And then this is one
World
great
War
scene.
Z.
Yeah, World War G.
World War G.
I don't think the new Gremlins movie is going to be that cool.
Chris Columbus wrote that movie. Right?
Well, yeah, which is crazy. You know, Home Alone and all that stuff.
He did an interview regarding Gremlins and stuff like that. And he wrote it, and a lot of studios passed on it.
Because it was too intense?
It's kind of a Christmas horror movie.
Yeah, it is a Christmas horror movie,
and,
absolutely.
If I remember correctly, Steven Spielberg walks by the studio. He just finished doing E.T. or something like that. He grabs the script, reads it, goes, this is pretty interesting.
Let's do this.
And he calls Chris Columbus.
Yeah.
And he goes, hey, listen to Steven Spielberg. And at this point, he thought they were messing
with him. Someone's joking,
so
yeah.
So he hangs up.
No.
I'm Steven Spielberg.
Oh, man.
He calls back. And the actual Steven Spielberg, he ended up getting the movie.
That's
and
awesome.
That took off.
And then that's really sorry Columbus's career.
Yeah.
That original script was crazy. It involved like the mom being killed and her head being rolled down the stairs.
It was gory.
And even the movie, it was rated PG, but then tons of people complained, and it was between that and something else. I forgot what the other movie, but that's how they created PG-13. Because they're like, "What? This can't be PG." Yeah. Like, well, it's not really R-rated.
Yeah. And without Gremlins, we would never have the Critters.
Or the Ghoulies.
All the Ghoulies.
Or
anything with a puppet.
Yeah.
Any tiny little creature that would eat people. Ugh, man. Gremlins is still the best of all those. Real quick, we're stopping.
Oh, man.
For some Drewster Cogburn versus the world. Hope you're ready.
Let's do this.
Pedro, every week, Drewster Cogburn has to take on the guest. You represent the world, Pedro.
I do. I can't wait to hear this.
So far in seven games, Drew is what?
4-2-1.
4-2-1 is Drew's record. So he's got a winning record, Pedro.
Okay.
Watch out for this guy.
Doing pretty good. 4-2-1. Who are you tied with?
Tom the Beer Guy.
Tom the Beer Guy. They tied, and I didn't have a tiebreaker, so that might be the only tie ever, because I have a tiebreaker now. This game is called Think of the Children.
Okay.
I'll give you a movie. You tell me the original theatrical rating. Funny, we're just speaking about ratings. I'm going to give you a movie. You tell me what it was rated. Remember, the ratings are G, PG, PG-13, R, NC-17, and X.
All right.
Those are your choices. Drew, you won last time, right?
Sure.
What was the tie? Was that the one we tied with Tom?
I don't remember. I'm a visitor, so it doesn't matter. He picks.
Well, actually, we do winners out. So since he won last week, you'll pick first. I have two groups of movies or five movies each. Group A, Group B. What do you want, Drew?
Group A.
Drew wants Group A. Here we go. The first movie, Saturday Night Fever from 1977. What was that movie rated? Saturday Night Fever.
PG.
Saturday Night Fever was actually rated R. It was then re-edited and reissued a year later in PG. But we're going with the original run.
Yeah, I had that one.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Wow. All right,
Drew, number two, a RoboCop in 1987.
X.
It was actually rated R when it was released.
Oh,
it was
the rated X version so good.
It was originally rated X.
He uses that data transfer thing.
It was actually rated X for violence. And when they submitted to the MPAA, they rated it X over 11 times before they gave it an R rating.
That's so awesome.
The X-rated version is on the Criterion DVD.
I've seen it so many times.
0-2 so far, Drew. 0-2.
I'm loving it.
Number three, 1985, Back to the Future. What was that rated?
PG.
That is correct. Number four, Cliffhanger from 1993.
PG-13.
Rated R.
Oh,
rated R.
Can't be that much.
I don't think so.
The first scene.
I think it's a soft R. Well, she falls. Yeah, but you don't see any blood. She just falls a long way.
That's it.
And finally, number five from 1994, Forrest Gump. What was that rated?
PG.
That's PG-13.
I'm terrible at this game.
Drew, one and four. Not good. Pedro, nope. You just need to get two to win.
I just got to be quiet.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, Pedro, here you go. You get the second set of movies. First movie from 2002, Chicago.
Chicago is rated PG-13.
That is correct. Very good. Number two from 1968, 2001, A Space Odyssey.
R.
It's rated G.
Rated G?
What? The complete opposite. There's no violence. There's nothing.
I know.
In that
still, it's 1966.
Still, it's a heavy movie. Yeah.
Rated G. All right.
I would not let my kids see that movie.
Number three from 1975, Jaws.
That's R.
That was rated PG.
What?
Doesn't make any sense. I know. I'm telling you.
He's throwing curves at me. All right.
Number four from 1994. Speed. Aforementioned Sandra Bullock.
Speed is R.
And you win. There you go. It's two correct. And number five from 1992, Wayne's World.
Let me think about this. PG.
PG-13.
No.
I think there's some sexual innuendos in there and
margin,
stuff.
Sir. Slim margin of victory.
Yeah, there you go. Pedro wins this episode. Drew Cogburn versus the world.
I already nailed it.
Man.
And the tiebreaker, let's see if you guys can get this one. How much did Cliffhanger make in the U.S. box office in 1993?
93.
Pedro, what do you got?
I'm going to say 93. 63 million.
63 million. What do you think, Drew?
I was gonna say like 45.
$84 million. So Pedro, you would have got that anyway.
All I
buddy.
Remember is there was a really terrible cliffhanger video game.
Was
yes.
there?
Super Nintendo.
Oh, it was so bad.
Oh,
it was
man.
Terrible
movie.
What is the worst like movie video game.
Oh man,
because I played Gremlins too. That was bad.
They are all awful.
The Goonies for the Nintendo was horrible.
The Home Alone games were pretty terrible.
The Platoon game stunk. All you did was crawl and stab people.
The Platoon game. All I remember about that game is running around the forest getting blown up by landmines. It was pretty much like the movie.
Friday the 13th was bad.
E.T. for Atari is legendary for almost bankrupting Atari, and there's like 6 million copies of the game in a landfill in Mexico somewhere.
And they are, and they somebody commissioned something. They allow the guys from MythBusters go to that landfill.
Oh, really? To go find them
in New Mexico to dig out to see if it's true. I had that video game.
Did you really? Ooh, my condolences.
I was like six, right? Because that movie came out
82.
82.
81, 82.
I was 7, 87.
Yeah.
My parents got me. I had the Atari.
Why not?
My parents got me. And you didn't know that when you were a kid.
But some people did back then, though. They still knew that. I mean, if you're 6 years old, you might not know.
I remember Pac-Man for the Atari was horrible.
Oh, yeah. It was nothing like the arcade version.
Nothing to do with the arcade. But Ms. Pac-Man was...
They finally got
Ms. Pac-Man is the classic.
Ms. Pac-Man is
but
better.
But that one, it was like a true translation.
Yeah. That E.T. game. It's weird how it works both ways. Movies being turned to video games, and video games being turned into movies.
It doesn't seem to work.
None of it works. Ever.
Mortal Kombat was decent.
It depends on what you're looking for.
The first one.
You know, in hindsight, looking at all the other, at the spectrum of video game movies that have come out, Mortal Kombat does stand pretty high on that list.
The DOA series is terrible. The Street Fighter series is terrible.
All the Street Fighter movies are horrible.
Dude, I saw that DOA movie.
The Tekken movie.
God-awful. I haven't seen Tekken.
Oh, God, it's so bad.
But the DOA movie
it's
I
so
saw,
bad.
I haven't seen that one.
Why these pretty... Because it had Presley.
Jamie Lee?
Jamie Lee Presley in it.
That's
and,
ridiculous.
And I was like... These bitches are too hot.
Well, that's the point, because the girls in the DOA video game were super hot.
Well, they had that DOA volleyball game.
And Eric Roberts is in it.
The thing is with the DOA series is if you go into the options and you change your age, the higher your age, the bigger the breasts get.
Really?
Yeah.
I'd be 1,000 years old, Anthony.
Yeah. I'm 97. Here you go. So old Dolly Parton lookalikes.
Yeah, exactly. It's hilarious.
Let's look at these balloony toonies. Will Smith is not doing Independence Day sequel. ID4 2.
What?
ID Forever is actually what they want to call
that movie.
Forever.
It is a little cheesy, but people still love it though.
ID Forever
is what they want to call what Roland Emmerich. What's it called? The director of White House Down. The guy who did White House Down is the same guy who directed Independence Day, 2012, The Day After Tomorrow.
Who's in the movie? So who signed on? Jeff Goldblum.
No one's officially signed on, but Jeff Goldblum and Bill Paxton.
Son David.
Emil Hirsch. Yeah. They both said in the past that, Judd Hirsch, actually. They both said in the past that they want to be in it. Will Smith said before he wants to be in it, but now I think he's costing them too much money. That's what they're saying.
Yeah.
Because he is an expensive dude.
Remember this, Will Smith. There's going to come a time.
Yeah, exactly.
Where you're going to need these things.
You're going to be like, hey, guys, can I be in this movie?
Remember me?
No, you're going to cost too much. No, I'll do it for the cheap.
I'll do it on scale.
It's okay, buddy. You know, stick to that price.
Independence Day is the movie that launched him.
Yeah.
Launched him
Made
into
him
stardom.
The King of 4th of July.
In terms of movies.
Yeah.
You know, he was already a Fresh Prince of Bel-Air at that point.
Welcome to Earth, bro.
Welcome to... he punched an alien in the face and said, welcome to Earth. One of the worst things ever in a movie. Jurassic Park 4 plot deets have leaked.
Wait, hold on. Jurassic Park 1... I remember.
Okay,
Jurassic Park 2 is...
Lost World.
Where Jeff Goldblum...
Jeff Goldblum goes back and...
he has the black daughter?
Yes. And the movie ends with the dinosaur in the city. Yes.
Okay, Part 3, none of the main guys from 1 and 2 are there.
No, Sam Neill. Sam Neill, who was not in the second one, came back for the third one as like a hired tour guide for William H. Macy. And like
is
his wife.
Is that the one that
whatever.
Has the pterodactyl?
Yes.
Okay, I thought 4 had this. Okay, so this is actual 4.
They're working on it. Spielberg's producing. The director that they got is this young kid, Colin Trevorrow, who he did this movie that's on the Netflix, Safety Not Guaranteed. It was actually a past pick of the week.
Tell me about that.
Yeah, Aubrey Plaza, Mark Duplass. It's a little sci-fi, romantic comedy type thing. It's a very small movie which makes it surprising that based on that, it's good. Mm-hmm. But based on that, they gave him Jurassic Park frickin' 4. Like, that's a huge production. That's a big jump for this dude. But anyway, so they got this kid to do it. Plot details have leaked. Jurassic Park 4 will take place in a world in which Jurassic Park, after all the problems and all the shit that went down on Isla Nublar, they fixed it.
What?
They wrangled in all the dinosaurs.
Excuse me.
The park is open and operational.
Well, the T-Rex destroyed the Velociraptors. No,
they fixed. They made they more Velociraptors.
They cloned them.
They re-cloned them all. They still had.
We took out their claws.
They found that. They found that Barbasol shaving can cream from the first movie. That that what's his name?
Newman.
Newman. That Newman dropped in the mud. They found that. I don't know. But the park is up and running, and to the point where it's like SeaWorld, and some of the dinosaurs are trained to do shows and stuff, and then shit's gonna go wrong. It's like Pirates of the Caribbean; they're gonna break down, and the pirates are gonna start eating the people.
Yes.
So that's I think that's actually kind of interesting.
I can't wait for the pirates to eat the people.
The last idea that they had for Jurassic Park 4, like 6 years ago, was half robot, half dinosaur creatures.
Yeah,
Dinobots.
Dinobots. Pretty much Dinobots. Yeah.
Me, Grimlock.
They were gonna do Dinobots, but. Now they're doing it. Imagine if the park is open and they think they have it all under control, and
but
then
they don't.
Then everything goes to shit. That sounds like fun, I think. Okay, I got some questions from the people, from the listeners. They have some questions for us. At Junk Culture Inc. wanted to know if he listens to the Crespo Dome in Los Angeles will be just as cool. I think so.
Yeah, it's just going to be a 3-hour delay.
Three-hour delay.
To get the references, but you'll be fine.
That's all. James Gandolfini died 3 hours later in Los Angeles because of the time zone. Mr. Nadathon on Twitter wanted to know what our three favorite Brad Pitt roles are. Not movies, but Brad Pitt performances.
I go first?
Yeah.
Number one, Snatch. Mickey from Snatch.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's sentimental.
The crazy gypsy.
Number two, Legend of the Falls.
Okay. Interesting. Interesting choice. Robert Redford.
I'm going that one.
All right. And then what do you got? There's Interview with Vampires, Fight Club,
Fight
Monkeys,
Club, number three.
Tyler
Fight
Durden.
Club, number three.
Yeah.
Tyler Durden.
What about you, Drew? You thinking?
Well, obviously, Tyler Durden from Fight Club.
Yeah.
I was a big fan of him in the Oceans series.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, what was his name? Like Skippy or Scotty?
I don't know. Or the dude with the hand tattoo that you only saw like a piece of once.
And he always eats.
Yeah. He's always got
eating.
A sandwich in his hand or
okay.
something.
Okay.
Let's see here. And the third one.
Thinking.
What's that one where he's with Julia Roberts?
The Mexican.
Yeah.
That's a fun one.
A fun
with James Gandolfini.
Yes.
Bringing it all back around.
Yeah.
I would go with Tyler Durden is iconic. I loved his turn as a crazy guy in 12 Monkeys.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's a lot of fun.
Yeah, man.
And the detective in Seven. Just okay. the young detective. Yeah. What's in the box? What's in the box?
I gotta move Legend of the Falls down. I gotta move up Fight Club, and I gotta throw in
Seven?
Seven.
Yeah. He's done a lot of good stuff.
Because I watched that movie, I shit you not, like 7 times. I was so into that movie.
When it came out, it was like nothing else. You know, it was so intense and
even
so
the
dark.
The credits ran backwards.
The credits changed the way people did opening credits and closing credits. Change the way people looked at that stuff and the money that they put into those things, you know.
And because of that movie, we went to see his other work. Not
7 years in Tibet.
Eight millimeter.
Oh, ooh, yeah.
Me and Angel went to see that movie. It was Gandolfini's in that movie as well.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. What a shit movie. All right, thanks, Mr. Nathan. We appreciate it. At Twitter, Twitter user at Country Black. Sent me 3 questions over 2 tweets. So here we go. He wants to do a Crespo Dome battle. Giant monsters. Who would win in a Crespo Dome battle? Godzilla versus any other monster. So I don't know. I guess you can pick whatever monster you want.
All right. So what monsters are there in films?
Well, there's
the Stay Puft Marshmallow.
Stay Puft Marshmallow. There's King Kong. There's
Mothra,
Mechagodzilla, all the Godzilla actual villains.
That stupid tick from Cloverfield.
Yeah, I was about to say the giant monster from Cloverfield.
Yeah, the 3-legged monster
that
thing.
That stupid piece of shit.
whatever comes out of the Pacific Rim.
Yeah,
the Pacific
whatever
Rim
comes
monsters.
Out of Pacific Rim.
Yeah.
Smog the dragon from The Hobbit. Plenty of giant monsters. All the dragons in Reign of Fire. The Christian Bale Matthew McConaughey.
The Titans. I think that's Clash of the Titans.
Yeah, there's actually
the
a
Hydra.
Lot.
Yeah.
So man, that's
giant
a lot
lava
of,
monster.
I guess.
Listen, we can do a Final Four in March with all these monsters.
That's
Godzilla's
the thing.
Godzilla's cool. Listen, Godzilla's cool because that's our childhood kind of like.
Yeah, he's like the first
thing. But dude, that's like putting like an old Pinto now racing with the Mustangs from today.
Yeah.
It's good, but don't think Godzilla
beats
everything. Slow down.
They are making a new Godzilla, like rebooting Godzilla, so to speak.
Oh, I hope Matthew Broderick's in this.
Oh my god, that is like the worst movie ever. Again, the guy who directed White House Down.
And they destroyed Kashmir with that movie.
Yeah, they did. But P. Diddy destroyed it specifically.
Come with me, Chris.
Well, if you do a giant monsters. If you do Godzilla versus any other monster, that means you're doing Godzilla versus the field. So you got to take the field.
Yeah.
Because there's just too many damn monsters. His second question, if you could make your own movie, what would it be? Do you have any movie ideas? I would go ahead and make that Mogwai, the Gremlins prequel.
That sounds awesome.
The 3-hour, it's mostly in Japanese. It's rated R. It would everything that studio executives hate about movie projects. That's what that is.
How about a realistic bank heist movie?
Like Heat style?
Heat style.
Yeah.
But just that scene.
Those are always fun. Did you see The Town? The Town was pretty tight. Yeah. Ben Affleck knows what's up behind the camera.
Yeah. Yes. Anything with Boston related, Ben Affleck.
Yeah,
I trust him.
He's freaking all over that shit.
I trust him. Because Gone Baby Gone.
Oh, so good. So good. I keep trying to tell people, see Gone Baby Gone. Casey Affleck, man. So you would go with like a bank heist, like a really gritty, real heist movie.
I like movies that the bad guy wins.
Okay, the anti-hero.
The Professional is one of my favorite movies.
Such a good movie.
Because the bad guy wins.
Yes, he does.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they're like, no, he doesn't. He dies.
But there's a badder guy, too. It's like, he's the bad guy, but there's a guy that's even badder. There's no good guys. It's all just a bunch of bad guys.
Gary Oldman somewhat still gets his guy.
Oh, everyone!
Yeah.
Oh, so good. Drew, what kind of movie would you make right now if you can make
it? Space Western starring Flintstein.
Okay, the Flintstein.
Space Western.
Oh, yeah. I've had this idea that I've been pitching to Chris.
Ice Pirates?
No.
Ice Pirates?
Ice Pirates is an 80s movie. It's like a Western
in space.
So I'm talking like Cowboy Bebop type stuff.
You're going anime.
But no.
But live action though.
Live action. Okay.
Yeah. Starring Flint Steel, the man with a robot arm and a penchant for
fashion. Do yourself a favor. Go to YouTube. Look up for the trailer for Ice Pirates. Okay. It's a cheesy ass trailer. It's from 1980. But that movie has what's the big guy from Hellboy. What's Hellboy?
Ron Perlman.
Ron Perlman's in that movie.
Oh, man.
Wow. It was one of his first movies.
Crazy.
Robert Ulrich is in that movie, I think.
Really? Ice Pirates.
Well, Ice Pirates.
I wrote that down. Right. So you would do a space Western.
Space Western.
With Flintsteel. And then Country Black's third question. Actually, I had to decipher this. Any thoughts on Frank Marshall, the director of Jurassic Park, could make Assassin's Creed movie, game-based movies, accursed? That's
Uwe Boll has the hands down on every video game movie.
That's Dr. Yes. Uwe Boll to you. Oh, Uwe Boll does, man, House of the Dead.
If it's a good video game, he'll fuck it up.
Oh, yeah, he'll make a terrible movie.
Dungeon Siege, Blood Rain.
I don't see how Assassin's Creed can be a good... It's one of those... It's a great video game.
Yeah.
And sometimes a video game does a great story
But it doesn't translate for a movie, though.
I don't know how you're going to translate it into a film, though.
Most video games have a good idea.
There's too much going on, though, in this series. Once you kill more than five people, it's an R movie.
Yeah.
So it's got to have to be rated R, guaranteed.
But then no one's going to see everybody that plays the game.
Frank Marshall didn't direct Jurassic Park. He helped produce them because he works with Spielberg. But like I said earlier...
Come on, Trevor Rose, get on it.
Michael Fassbender, his production company, got the rights to Assassin's Creed, so he's producing it. He may star in it as the Assassin's Creed guy.
But it's Hitman.
It has that potential.
Hitman. The trailer for Hitman.
The Hitman trailer was great.
Awesome.
I was like, I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm in. But then it's like,
it's one of the worst movies ever. Some of y'all fans, great.
But
he did also kind of look like a big baby with his head shaved.
Yeah.
He doesn't.
Some things don't transfer.
Some guys don't look good with a shaved head. Great Timothy Oliphant does not look good with a shaved head.
The costuming in Assassin's Creed is not going to translate well in real life.
So we would suggest people don't make that movie. Okay, I got one more question here from our official show correspondent, Billy D.
Oh, Mr. Billy.
Our homeboy who's up in New York.
45.
This is what? This is episode 24.
Yeah. So this is question 24.
So this is question 24 from Billy D. He says, "What's up, guys? In the near future, you have run afoul of a gypsy and been cursed. You can only see one of the upcoming movies. Your eyeballs will melt or something. Pacific Rim, Gravity, Elysium. Choose wisely." Do you know about all three of these movies?
Yeah.
Okay.
Only one?
Yeah, these are all three movies that we eagerly anticipate. Billy D knows how to ask a good question.
Let's break this down.
All right, so we got Pacific Rim.
Pacific Rim.
Giant monsters.
Giant robots. And Guillermo del Toro.
Del Toro.
Okay. Then we got Elysium.
The District 9.
District 9 sans aliens.
But Jodie Foster's in it.
With a bad guy.
With a severe haircut.
Jodie Foster has not had a hit since The Accused.
But Matt Damon looks like he's going to turn into a robot.
Or a
slowly.
Cyborg.
Slowly he's going to turn into some sort of cyborg.
And what's the third one?
Gravity.
Sandra
Bullock.
Sandra Bullock's hopefully dying in space.
Gravity to me is like open water in space.
Right. But
No. Space is so much scarier than the open water.
it's more that, infinite.
You know what I mean?
That idea. It is the same idea of
helplessness.
Being, yes. You mentioned Guillermo del Toro doing Pacific Rim. This is Gravity. Is Alfonso Cuarón, who did Children of Men, and
I didn't like that movie.
You didn't like Children of Men?
I love that movie.
Get out of my house!
I'm leaving.
I love that movie. You're off the show. We're deleting.
Edit it out.
We're gonna re-record this episode.
You weren't a fan of Children of Men?
Oh man, I love that
freaking movie.
I tried, maybe I have to watch it again, but yeah. I just couldn't get into it.
It's dour,
and I watched it like completely.
If you gave it a shot. You don't like it. It happens.
City of God is one of my favorite
movies. That movie's amazing.
City of God is ridiculous. It's so good. But that's a movie, though, where I watch it once and I love it to death, but I don't feel the need to ever watch it again. Parts of it are so heavy. There's a scene where the kids, they have the gun, and they're pointing the gun at the two kids. It's a really young one. They have to choose. Yep. Like, you got to kill one of these kids now. If you want to be part of our gang.
You're talking about City of God.
City of God. Yeah. You're thinking of Children of Men? No. In City of God, they're talking about like killing the little kids. I can't. Like, this is really well made and believable, but really I can't watch this again. This is way too much.
And those kids were all from the favela.
Yeah, they're all real favelians. Of those three movies, which one? If I had to pick one of those three, I would actually say Elysium. Just because I love District 9 so much, I'm really interested in seeing how that guy, what his second movie is going to be. So even though I love Del Toro, I love Cuarón, and I'm super excited for Pacific Rim and Gravity, I would go Elysium.
I'm not interested in any three of these movies.
Uh-huh.
But if I had to.
If you had to.
To save my eyes from melting, Pacific Rim.
Okay. Yep. Because of the Del Toro thing?
Del Toro.
Yeah. Pan's Labyrinth.
Oh my god. What's The Orphanage?
Yes.
The Orphanage.
Devil's Backbone?
Have you seen that one?
That one's great. What's Devil's Backbone in Spanish? El Something del Diablo.
La Espalda del Diablo.
Yes. Because it's a Spanish movie. Drew?
Elysium.
You'll go Elysium. All right. Okay, there you go. So those are all our questions. Thank you guys very much. Pedro, we got one more thing to do, buddy.
Let's do this.
You're going through the lightning round.
Oh!
I got 10 questions here. I'm going to hit you with them pretty quickly.
Go.
And you just give me the answers.
First response is like psychotherapy.
Exactly. We're getting into the mind of Pedro Lima. Number one. Did you play any sports growing up?
Yes. Oh, you want
to... You can. It's up to you. Is that the
end? No. First sport I played was baseball. When I moved to the state was basketball.
Nice. Yeah, you are a giant. Number two. Bacon-flavored mayonnaise. Yes or no?
No.
Number three, the first set of Crayola crayons had four colors, true or false?
I'm going to say true.
Number four, would you take a trip on the Titanic 2? Which is real.
Yeah, I say yeah.
You would? Okay.
Yeah, why not?
Because it's the Titanic 2. Number five, why is the sky blue?
A reflection of the water.
Number six, would you rather go to Wally World or Wonder World?
Wally World.
All right. Number seven, dreams. Are they to be strived for or crushed?
My nickname is Dream Killer.
Or killed.
Yeah. I go, it's to strive for.
Oh, that's very nice of you. Number 8, virtual reality or reality TV?
Based on reality or based on reality?
No, virtual reality.
Oh, virtual
reality or reality TV?
God damn, I'd rather have my eyeballs melted.
All right.
I'll go virtual reality.
Virtual reality or eyeballs melted. Number
reality
9.
TV. Oh, man, that's horrible. Virtual. Give me an example of virtual reality, like that Russell Crowe movie?
Yeah, like Virtuosity. Like you're in a virtual reality game. Or reality TV.
Is it good, like the new, like the good one, like Gerard Butler?
No, like 90s style blocky virtual reality that you would see at a mall.
Oh, I'm going to go reality TV.
Oh, okay. All right. Number 9, favorite ice cream topping.
Topping? Peanuts.
Ooh. And number 10, what's the deal with airline food?
You know what? It's not as bad when you take an international flight.
That's true, actually.
Yeah, because I got to go to England, and the food that they give you, I mean, it's airplane food. Yeah. It's not that bad.
It used to be bad.
Eastern Airlines.
Oh, Eastern Airlines. That's why I used to fly back in the day.
Yeah, to go to New York to Puerto Rico.
Yeah, exactly.
Eastern Airlines.
Exactly, yeah. So there you go. That was a lightning round, Pedro. We learned a lot about you there, buddy.
Thank you,
I think
man.
We learned a lot. All right, we're going to send you out of here with
false.
A gift.
Who's the answer?
Oh, that's right. Thank
Crayola.
You, Drew. Crayola. First set of Crayola crayons.
Blue,
had four
red,
colors.
And
yellow.
Yellow, yeah.
It's false. Cool. Actually, the first box had 8 colors.
Eight colors.
Black, thanks, white. Drew. I appreciate that. That's what a good core producer does. Pedro, right behind you. You see that green bag with all the polka dots on the thing? Go ahead and grab Choose that one bag because that's your only choice. Pass it over here. This is the Cinema Crespo Niso swag bag.
Oh,
we're sending you out of here with gifts, buddy.
Oh, man. You're making me feel bad. We don't even have shit like that.
The Cinema Crespo Niso. This is what we do. You're going to get a DVD, the unrated version of Meet the Spartans. It's one of these spoof movies that were centered around 300 and similarly themed action movies of the time.
Oh, this is awesome.
I got you a super
this
action.
This more?
Bag here. Super action yo-yo classic. You got a yo-yo there.
It's not a Dunkin'. I used to play with the Dunkin'.
Yeah, it's not a Dunkin', no.
I used to be a badass in those Dunkin'.
With the Dunkin' stuff?
Dude, I used to do tricks and shit.
I bet you that thing, if you drop it once, it'll never come back.
Yeah, it'll
the whole value of this bag is about $7.
Dude, it's fantastic.
Got you here. You might appreciate this. The Magical Treasures Sky Pony.
It's
a tiny little pony.
You could brush its hair.
Have a brush? It doesn't have a brush, but I got a brush at home.
Oh, the brush
is fantastic.
The brush was an extra dollar. And to go with that, RoboMax Transforming Robots. You got you a big old robot thing.
Oh,
there.
Shit. So, this is perfect.
So the robot can battle the pony?
Yeah. No. I'll try and make a movie based out of everything you give me here. I'll make a Vine video. Oh, no. Instagram has 15 seconds now.
That's right. Yeah. Instagram is extra long.
Fuck you, Vine.
this is actually the most stacked bag we have. I'm surprised. A bottle of Scope Outlast mouthwash.
That's a message right
there.
I'm
not trying to say anything personal. It's just it was cheap and it's in there. And I think two more things. What's this? Some Snapdragon seeds. So you can plant some snapdragon flowers.
You know, my daughter would love you for this.
There
you put it right next to the
pony. Right next to the pony.
And the
robot.
There.
And you get your own copy of the
flyer
promo now.
Oh, I'm so excited. I was going to ask him to see if I can take the bootleg one.
You can take that one right there.
Oh, this is fresh.
With Baby Lack on the
Thank
back
you,
cover.
Baby Lack
interview
for
with Baby Lack.
This. Yes. And you guys for, oh, God damn red bones. That's what's up.
It is all about them red bones. I definitely recommend checking out, I think it's page 5 or 6, the stripper of the month.
Yes. I am taking a picture of everything that I've consumed from you.
Yeah, sir.
Posting this on
fantastic, and then I'll take that and I'll copy it and put it on my stuff. So thank you very much, Pedro.
Thank you so much, guys, for having me here.
You're very welcome.
Our pleasure.
I
really had a great time.
We're definitely going to have you back on in the future.
Let me know, dude. I can talk shit all day.
That is for sure, and that's what we love around here. Drew, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Thank you very much for listening out there, people. Tell your friends, tell your family. Rate the show 5 stars and review us on iTunes. Check us out on Stitcher, aircheck.us, and, of course, chriscrespo.com. We'll be back for episode 25 next week.
Deuce 5.
The bag. You absolutely need the bag so you can carry all that shit. It's all yours, buddy. The Crespo Diesel swag bag. Average.
This is going to the Rampant Radio Studio.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Average value of $5 to $7. Actually, that looks like
a little stack.
That's an $8 bag right there. Wow. So enjoy, sir. All right. I got a lot of editing to do. So that show is over. Thank you very much.
Peace out.
That tape over 1,000 times, you know, looking for little quirks in the voices, phrases that repeat.
There were two other guys there. I couldn't phrases make them out, but I think they'll come up on the phone.
You can take that to the bank.
I know their voice.
Your charts go back for 7 years. Do you have any recollection?
Those two guys
on
phrases that repeat. Phrases. I still have them on the same film in the same camera, right where I left it.
The people's candidate, Senator Vernon Trent, promises no new taxes.
You can take that to the bank.
Money now and a lot more when I get in that office. You can take that to the bank.
I'm gonna take you to the bank, Senator Trent.